You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we are starting season 3 off with one of my good friends, Zach Levitt. He's a fellow running YouTuber and content creator. We talk a lot about what it's like being a creator in the running YouTube space specifically, and he also is now running the Chicago Marathon in October. So we talk a little bit about his training and everything, and it was a really fun episode just catching up with Zach. I haven't talked to him in a while, so hopefully you guys enjoy today's episode. I'm excited to start season 3, and I hope you guys are too, so we're gonna have some fun episodes this season over the next couple months, and I'm really excited. So make sure to follow us on Instagram. It's just at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod, and you guys can give me guest recommendations, because honestly I feel like I've had on a lot of people from the running world, and I definitely want to branch out a little bit from my inner circle. So if you guys have any good guest recommendations for anyone that you want to hear from on the podcast, feel free to send those over in the podcast DMs. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy this podcast. I just love reading your guys' reviews. Yeah, so let's get to it. Today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. Inside Tracker has been one of my podcast sponsors for a while now, and that is because I absolutely love them. When you love doing what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life, and Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. For me personally, I just love seeing the data and everything that's going on inside my body. Like, I would have had no idea that I was low on vitamin D until I started working with Inside Tracker, and I'm slowly working my way up, and I'm definitely way more inclined to be taking my vitamin D supplement every day, and it's super cool to see my levels going up. Just with using Inside Tracker's science-backed trackable action plan has really helped me out with that. Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer, healthier life. For a limited time, you can get 25% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma. That is insidetracker.com/Emma. Go get 25% off, because change is the inside job. Now let's get straight into today's episode. All right, Zach, I'm excited to have you on finally. I feel like this is a long time coming. I'm sure everyone was expecting this episode at some point. So we're kicking off season 3 with a good YouTuber special.
Oh, yeah. stoked to be here.
Yeah. To start off, do you want to just give us a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're about, if people don't already know who you are?
Well, I'm Zach. I'm 21. I'm from Virginia. I now live in LA. And I'm basically a running YouTuber, and I run, and I do YouTube, and I do internet stuff, and I like to call myself an entrepreneur. And I once traveled across the country in a sprinter van while trying to qualify for the Olympic trials. I missed by a couple minutes, but now I'm working on my next marathon. And maybe there's even more in the future. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot, Emma. We might have to discuss this. I don't know.
Yeah, wait. I'm so curious, because the last time that we saw each other was in February before the Nike February 2020, before the Nike LA half marathon, which got canceled because of COVID. And then I feel like it's just been a whirlwind of the year. And I mean, I've been following to see what you've been doing. And then you said that you were going to be running the Chicago Marathon. And I'm just curious, like, how is that going? And what made you say yes to the opportunity?
I know that you said no. I was like, Emma, are you going to say yes? Like, let's do this.
I didn't feel mentally prepared to run a marathon at this point in time.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that. What made me decide was really like, I hadn't had any motivation to run for so long. And I was like, you know, like, I should probably get off my butt and run for once. And I wanted to sign up for a race anyways. So I was like, this is like a great opportunity to do it for free. And so I was like, heck, let's do it. And then I'm now locked in. I'm running a marathon in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, to explain, like, Nike gives people media people the opportunity to run the Chicago Marathon, like a certain amount of people every year. So that's what I did back in 2019 when I ran the Chicago Marathon. And now Zach
is way
doing
cooler.
It.
She did it a long time ago.
Yeah, so I already did it. So now it's Zach's turn to experience the Chicago Marathon. It's a great course. It's very flat.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And I don't really have any tips for you because I feel like you're going to do fine. And you've already run a marathon before, so you're really going to be fine.
Yeah. Since I've already run one, I'm like really preparing mentally for it, because after that one, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can run for like the rest of my life. I'm so in pain. But now I'm like coming into it with like a fresher mindset, because I haven't raced or run seriously in a long time. And I'm like getting really deep into training. Like basically I went from running like 0 miles a week to like 62 and then like 74. And then now I'm gonna like go even harder this week. And then basically I'm just going so hard right now.
Yeah. Okay. I was looking at your Strava and I was like, what on earth is this training? 0 to 60 miles a week. I was like, couldn't be me. I don't know how you do
that. Yeah. It's definitely not advised. I saw some comments like Zach was probably like logging stuff outside of Strava, you know, like he's ready for this, all this stuff. And I was like, I wish, like, you know, I was like,
wait, what made you decide on that number? Like, you're just like, okay, I'm gonna run 60 miles, or were you just doing like whatever feels good on the day?
Well, there's the Nike coach, and you know, she was like, hey, you know, maybe run like 30, 40 miles this week. I was like, dog, there's like 7 weeks till the marathon. I need to get in shape. Like, I was like, I need to get in good shape. I'm not trying to just jog this thing.
Yeah.
And so I just started like devising this own training in my mind. I was like, I want to hit 100 mile a week, you know, like I want to get back. And then I was like, what's the quickest way to get there? And I was like, oh, just get to 70, 80 really quickly. And then you can kind of make that jump slowly over the next like 2-3 weeks. And then you can come down for marathon week. And
this is like,
you know,
this is like when you need a disclaimer on like a video or be like, do not try this at home. Like,
yeah,
I feel like no one should try this.
The worst running advice ever. Yeah.
Do not jump up to 70 miles a week, and don't try to get to 100 miles a week from 0 in 7 weeks.
Yeah, my cumulative like yearly mileage was at like 350, 400 before the marathon, before I started training 8 months into the year. And now I'm like, I might run like 500 miles in 7 weeks before my marathon. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So what's the goal?
I realistically set the goal in my mind of like low 230s, you know, like,
yeah,
I was like, you know, I honestly have no clue where I'm at, but I've done some long runs where I felt really confident running like 540s and stuff like that. So I'm like, if I scale back to 6, kind of chill out for a little while, maybe kick it in at the end, like I could run maybe low 230s if I'm feeling good, you know?
Yeah, your long runs have been impressive. Like your Strava has definitely, I think, impressed me and a lot of other people. Just coming from 0 miles.
I swear, training, okay, this is not fact tested, this is not scientifically proven, but I swear sometimes I feel like training is just only cumulative. Like sometimes I feel like all it takes is like 3 weeks to get back to where you were, and then
okay,
you're like right
okay
there, you're like 100% there.
I will debate this till the end. I honestly feel like guys have a way easier time getting back in shape. I don't know what it is, but I feel like girls a lot of the time, my college team and I used to talk about this, like I don't know what it is, like you guys just can bounce back so fast, and I feel like a lot of the time we have a harder time, but maybe that's just me complaining. But there's
that's a fair argument.
I would take 3 weeks to feel better than like horrid on a run, but I would not say
the best I've ever felt in my life, and I'm like 2 weeks into training.
No, get out. You're right.
I'm like, dang, maybe I'm gonna beat my PR. I don't really know, but like,
do you actually think that?
No, not this time, but like the more I run, I'm like, man, maybe I should like try to make the Olympics in the fall, or like in a couple years, like in the fall. Yeah, not that fit yet. But I'm like, yeah. Well, they only run like 5 minute miles. Like if I could bring my chilling fast running at like 5:40 down to 5 minutes for like 10 miles, maybe I have a shot. And I'm like,
yeah, who knows? Well, you can start with the Chicago, the little
Rust Buster. We gotta start small, okay?
Yeah. Start with the Rust Buster and then maybe think about the Olympics later.
It was like, oh god, he's gonna experience so much pain.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't like raced a marathon all out. Like Chicago for me wasn't all out. I mean, I didn't go from the gun, you know. I didn't want to bonk or like die, so I definitely ran it smart. But I don't know. I give a lot of credit to people that just go from the gun and like run 6 minute miles for 26 miles. Like, I just don't, I don't understand.
It's just like painful. It just sounds awful to hear to the ears, but
it's kind of fun though. Like the marathon experience is definitely fun.
For sure. I think it's like a unique group of people that come together and it's like this weird, like cult around just like hurting your body for 26 miles. And you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it's kind of like the thing about ultra running too, I'm sure. It's just like this unique group of people that really likes to go through pain for fun. And like, I don't know, it's just so different than competitive running, at least like my experience. I mean, I wasn't on the elite side, so I don't know what elite marathoning looks like, but like just coming from the people that were running 3:30, like me in the marathon, I don't know. It was just so fun to be on the starting line. I'm like, this is so different than like lining up at like NCAA cross country, you know. And I don't know, I really like the vibes.
There's like cutthroat. You're gonna like get stepped on by somebody's spike if you're not careful.
People will
like
elbow me to the ground
at the start of the marathon. They're like passing around a beer. You're like, oh yeah, that is my type of event.
Shots at mile 22. I'm like, what is this? Also, ew. Like,
this is a running race.
Yeah, I will never understand that. I'm like, mile 22, nothing's going down.
Yeah, if it's going down, it's coming back up.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're just training yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, technically the Nike coach is training me, but I mean, yeah, I'm training myself just because.
Well, I mean, you know your limits, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like if she advised me to do this, like, and I got injured, she'd probably feel pretty bad. But like, if I advise myself, I'm like, well, you know, it was my own decision.
Yeah, I don't know what coach is stupid. Gonna do. I don't know what coach is advising you to jump up that much, but you know, if it works, it works.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out if it works though.
Yeah. Hey, what do you have to lose though? You know.
Yeah, for real. I'm like, well, worst case, I'll just jog it.
Yeah, we'll just make it to the starting line. That's like the
for
goal.
Sure. For yeah. sure. Yeah.
What have been the biggest challenges for training so far?
The biggest challenges have probably just been locking in. Like before the 62 and then 74 mile week, it was just like realizing that I had a marathon to run was really hard. I was like, you know, like I've got 14 weeks, like I can ease into this, got a little bit of Achilles pain, let's rock with this, whatever. But then like making the switch to like really training was huge for me, because it's like this old mindset of like, when I was training for my last marathon and in college training, when you're just like, I've got to run 10 miles today and just get it done. And it's going to hurt and I'm going to be sore all day. And then I'm going to run again tomorrow and do the exact same thing. So that was hard to like switch over to. And then really that might be the only thing, like everything else just kind of comes with it. But it's been really nice making that switch, I will say.
What's nice about it?
I don't know. I feel like before I had a lack of structure in my life. Like I just, you know, like it's easy when you don't run, you know, like you're like, oh, I've got the whole day. Like I can do whatever. And then when you're running, you're like, okay, I have to like structure my day in some way to get this run in. Because if it's like 9 o'clock, you're probably not running yet. Like if it's 9 o'clock at night, you're like, well, I guess today we'll just take it off.
Oh, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I was like, hey, speak for yourself, I'll run after 9 a.m. But yeah, after 9 a.m., I'm not running. I've done that a handful of times, so I will say. But that was in college, like when I really had to get it done. Like
when
I would
grinding,
be at 24-hour fitness at 11:30 p.m. running. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I procrastinated way too much today. But
exactly.
I got it done.
But Emma got it done. Let it be known, Emma got it done.
Yep. back in like 2016 or something. So
yeah,
I got my 6 mile running.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like basically just, you know, I feel like it's been interesting because it's allowed me to like work better. Like I just have this like structure and it allows me to then like be more effective in my work. Mm-hmm. Although I'm more tired, like there's something about being tired for me that helps me be less ADHD. So I'm like, oh, like I'm tired. Let me just sit down at my desk and do work. Like, whereas before I would just be like, oh my gosh, what's happening today? Let me go do some stuff.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, I'd get distracted and not do my work. So I'm like, oh, it's not the worst to be tired.
Yeah.
Every day.
So, okay. Before you started training, like what was a day in the life like for you over the past year?
Ooh, that's hard. Every day looked different. Oh my gosh. For a while, it was like surfing and then maybe going for like a jog or something, you know, back when like 4 miles was like a good run for me, you know, I was like, wow, got a good 4 mile jog in. Then I'd probably just like sit down at my desk for like a majority of the day and like think or maybe do some stuff or maybe edit some stuff or maybe record a podcast or maybe record a video or maybe like it was all just a lot of maybes in the day where I was just like, I'm going to sit down and try to work. But like, I feel like I didn't have too much direction, so I've just like pitter patter around on my computer and just be doing things and not really accomplishing much. But I got a lot of thinking in. I read a lot at the start of the year, but like I don't know, I feel like I wasn't necessarily like working really hard on things that I cared about as much as I wanted to. But I was kind of like, you know, LA type speak, I was finding myself, you know.
Okay.
I was finding myself.
Okay. Yeah, well I feel like a lot of people that don't do what we do, like content creation, a lot of the time don't really understand, I guess, the challenges of the job.
For sure.
Because a lot of people think, oh, you're a YouTuber, like that's an easy job. But I wouldn't, it has its own challenges. Like, yes, they're definitely pros, obviously, like the freedom to do what you please or like create the content that you want to create. But it's like consistently coming up with content at least one time a week is way harder than people think, especially when you don't have like something like the vlog squad around you where everyone else is making the content.
Yeah.
Like if it's just like you and I, it's, I don't know, how much can you do on your own at that
exactly
point? Yeah.
I feel like I made this analogy last week because I was reading this book called The Lean Startup. And I was like, being a YouTuber is like running a startup, but like it's only you on the team. Like in a startup, there's like, you know, a couple people, you got people who do different things. But as a YouTuber, it's weird because like you have to be like the idea committee. You have to be like the production committee. You have to be the filming crew. You have to be the marketing team. You have to be the editor. You have to be like all these different hats. And it's like really daunting because like you have to go through the whole process of making the video and thinking of the video. And then like you finish and you're like, oh my gosh, this is great. And then you're like, oh wait, I have to post another video in 3 days. We got to like do this all again. I have to come up with another great idea. And like, after finishing, like coming up with a great idea is so hard because you're like, that was like my best idea. And with the goal of like making every video your best, you're like, how am I gonna come up with a better idea than the one I just came up with?
Yeah.
And then you're like, whoa. And you're just doing so much. You're like, it's a multifaceted job.
And I think for me, like after college, I've just had a hard time finding that direction again, because like, obviously I started my channel as like a college athlete, so that my direction was basically given to me because I knew exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
But then after college, like, I mean, the marathon was great because it was like you, it's just something that you can focus on and that takes up so much of your time and that people are interested in. But like beyond that, I feel like I've had a lack of direction because I just don't really know what motivates me or like what I really want to film. And I feel like that's where a lot of my inconsistency comes from, is because I don't really know what my purpose is, I guess, on YouTube is. But maybe
it's a weird thing.
I mean, maybe you felt the same way. It's just a weird feeling.
For sure. I mean, like, it's weird because most people don't have to like face this idea of like, what value do I provide to the world? Like, who am I? Like, what is my brand, you know? And like thinking about your value and then realizing that you like don't really, like there's this realization
don't really have
that much, you know, like most people are all the same. Like most YouTubers are just another person. And like, you realize you're like, I don't know, I'm just me. And then it's like this weird place where you're like, whatever I create is dependent on me, but also like, who am I? Like you start to question who you are and like what you're about. And you're like, I don't know, my whole identity has been tied to this running thing for so long, but I'm like, am I still a runner? Like, am I any of these things, you know? Like, I'm sure you can resonate with that a lot.
Oh, I mean, definitely. And I think that's something I've, like, really dealt with, especially over the last year, it's like, I don't really know. I don't even really know who I am. You know, I feel like I held on to that. That's how but it's like, I feel like I held on to my identity as like Emma, the Oregon runner through like 2019, like through the marathon. And then after that, it was just like, okay, I like literally need to figure out what I enjoy outside of running because I'm not that person anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think it's created inconsistency for me on YouTube, especially, but I like love my podcast because I still love running at the end of the day. Like I love talking about running. I love, like, I don't know. I feel like my background is in running. So I just like to hang out with runners and like, I have a lot in common with them, obviously. And I like to hear people's stories, but for like me personally, it's just hard to like create another story, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like a thing that I've had to grapple with, and like, I'm not sure about you, but like trying to figure out how to like pivot what I'm doing has been like really hard, but interesting, because it's like, you realize you like get into these traps of doing the same thing where you're like questioning yourself and then you go back into it and then you question yourself and then you go back into it. And then you're like, I just keep going in this loop. And like, there's that like quote or whatever, like insanity is doing the same thing over and over again without realizing.
My life. If that is true, I am actually insane. I am definitely insane, I would say, according to that definition.
I mean, I think we all are. But like trying to figure out how to like shift that course has been like something I've been trying to think about, and like trying to figure out what course I've been on and like what course I moved to, and then how I fall back into that, and then how to escape that. A little complicated and jumbled, but you know what I mean? Like figuring out the escape route has been like important for me.
The escape route. Well, I think it's just like, it's figuring out how to take your audience with you to other areas of life, because it's, especially on YouTube, it's like running YouTube is pretty small. So I don't know. And I feel like, especially after college, a lot of people figure out other things that they're interested in. But a lot of like YouTube viewers are people that are younger that want to see running content. So I don't know. I completely understand though, because I feel like I will always be in that like running world, even though like I really care about running. I feel like it's not my whole life anymore, like it was when I started YouTube. So I definitely agree with that. Though I haven't really
be a part of my life and my channel though too. Like I feel you for sure.
Yeah. So like ideally, what would you want to like pivot to? Like what's your goal with the YouTube?
I don't really know fully yet. It's more just like a more large scale approach to running YouTube, or like, you know, potentially like more, I don't know, like it's hard because like the entertaining like content, like purely entertainment content, just feels kind of like soulless to me, you know, sometimes.
Well, that's like that's why I don't think I could ever just be that person that makes YouTube videos that to like go viral, just because I don't really think there's like a purpose, and I don't really care to be that much of an entertainer. Like I'm not I don't even know what it is. Like I obviously people appreciate
those
videos,
but you provide
value
to the world.
I just feel like I want it to be more meaning behind
for sure.
my content.
For
I
sure.
Guess.
No, for sure. For sure. No, I agree fully. Like I feel the same way where it's like, you know, I could try and make entertaining content, but like sometimes at the end of the day, you like sit there after creating it and you're like, wow, that was like really cool. But you're like, I don't know what that gave to anybody. Like they're just going to sit there and waste 10 minutes watching this and feel as empty as I do right now, potentially. Yeah. So I'm
okay,
like,
I'm curious, like to kind of expand on that. Like, do you think social media is a good thing, or do you think it's harmful?
See, I'm like the worst influencer or whatever. Like, I don't like to brand myself as that, but you know, like although it's like my life.
Okay, Noah, you're definitely not the worst influencer. Are you kidding?
No, I like hate Instagram and like all that stuff, but I love using it. So it's like this weird thing where I'm like, I understand the implications of what I'm doing, but there's something about like being an OG Instagram user that I just like love scrolling on the feed. And like I've loved watching YouTube my entire life, but I also have this like negative feeling towards social media for like the future generations, because like I grew up playing outside. Like I did not have a phone for so long. I did not have a computer for so long. So like I feel so much value from that time in my life, and I feel like I see so many kids these days that are like sitting inside or on their parents' phone at dinner, and I'm like, dude, this sucks that people are just on their phone at dinner. Like I make it a point to like whenever I'm hanging out with friends, I like never have my phone on me. Like I'm like I disappear. Like, friends that text me, they probably just think I die because I don't respond for so long.
If I'm gosh, I had someone text me today. Are you okay? Because I just haven't replied. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
No, I mean, I feel the same way. And I feel like a lot of content just like harms people. Maybe it's not intentionally, but I feel like it just makes people feel bad about themselves. And I'm honestly really worried for the future generation, especially with TikTok, just from like the things I see on there. I'm like, this would be so bad for me. Like if I was back in high school, just with like some of the things that are posted on there, I'm just really curious and a little worried just to see how it affects people in the long run. Because yeah, like you, I didn't grow up with social media. Like in high school, there was no one, like social media was barely existed. Like Instagram, you know, you were posting pic stitches with heavy borders. It was only your friends. You know,
like,
you weren't following
that or something.
Yeah, I'd cap that pictures. Like you're not, I don't know, you're not following these like Instagram models or
yeah,
I don't know, looking at what everyone's doing every day. So I don't know. That's the thing I like grapple with social media, and I don't think personally, like I put out harmful content at all. Yeah. And I don't think anyone would really say that. I hope.
No, I think you put out good content.
yeah. But I don't know. I'm like the same way. I just don't think it's very great to be on it all day, but it's just so addicting and they make it that way that,
yeah,
I don't know. But that's another reason why I just like, don't want to put out like, I don't know, entertainment content because I want to like actually help people. And that's the thing that I kind of like, deal with in my head when it comes to like being self-employed and stuff, because I'm like, how much is this really helping people? And like on a day-to-day basis, you know, it's just me, myself, and I working for myself, and I don't really think I see anything. Like I don't know, I'm not interacting with people, so it's kind of hard to see like the value in the things that I'm putting out.
For sure.
Yeah, so I don't know, I don't That's think about this too much, and I think I have too much alone time because I think about it way too much.
I feel that fully. It's so easy to like get caught in those traps of thinking about things like that. You're just like, what's happening?
Have you ever thought about getting a regular job, or do you want to like do the entrepreneur route for life?
I don't think I've ever like seriously thought about getting a real job. Like sometimes you just have like so many projects fail in a row, and you're like, dang, it would be so easy to have like a normal job and just like chill. But I had a conversation over the summer with Bashir, my friend, and I was like, I just don't think it's the life that I could do. Like, I just don't think I can physically do that, you know? And like, I think the largest capacity of a real job would be like in startup that like I would consider for sure. Like I've gotten a few opportunities where it's like, maybe I'll take this like in this like startup type role. But I haven't like seriously considered any of them just because I'm really focused on like building my own startup or like building my own YouTube channel or like, you know, working for myself or like having people work with me, you know?
Yeah. I like structure, and I think that's what I've lacked over the last couple of years. So I definitely am like, I would definitely consider it, and I have considered it. I just think, especially like with the experience I've had over the last couple of years, like it would need to be a certain like specific role just because.
For sure.
I don't know. Like
you're specialized.
It's just niche. It's like niche experience. I have like a podcast and a YouTube channel. So.
Hey, people value that. You're a pro marketer.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like I've thought about being like social media manager and stuff, but I like interviewed for this one job and I'm just like, I'm not qualified because I don't have the corporate experience. So it's just, I think it would have to be a certain like specific role. I just don't know what it is yet. So
for sure.
I don't know, but I really miss like having someone give me structure. Yeah. And you're like, you like thrive in a startup situation, it seems like, but I don't really know honestly what I would thrive in.
Hey, it's a weird thing to like know or find out, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like this is young 20s.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Life's fun.
Yeah, I mean, you're still really young. You're only 21. I'm 24, so
slightly young.
Yeah. Well, why did you start your channel? Like, did you start your channel with the intent of it becoming your job?
I don't know. Like, it's weird because I definitely started it just for fun. I was like, oh, like I'm about to go into this fun period of my life. Like, let me just document what I'm doing, which happened to be mostly running. But in the back of my mind when I made my first video, like I made my first video like three times because I was like, I need this to be like perfect. You know, I need all these videos to be perfect. Like, because I wanted to be really good. Like I felt like at the time I was like good at editing and like I just gotten a new camera that would allow me to, you know, make really good videos. And I was like, I think I could like be pretty good at this, but I didn't really know the scope of like how large it could be, you know? So at some point I like realized, oh, this could be like a really good thing. Like when I hit like 10K a semester in, I was like, maybe like this could be a thing, you know? Yeah. Started to consider it more seriously.
What was like the video or I guess the time period where you kind of knew you're like, this could be like, this will be my full-time career? Or it like gave you the courage to be like, okay, I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to drop out of college and I'm going to make YouTube full-time.
I feel like just through the second semester of my first year of college, I like started gaining more and more views. And I had a viral video like at the start of my second semester. And like, I just had all these views coming in. And on the low, I was like monetizing, you know, like, you know, you weren't allowed to back in the day. Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. I'm a rule breaker sometimes. But I was like, this is
okay,
a stupid
don't
rule.
Do that. If you're old, I guess now it probably
now you guys
matter.
Can.
Yeah.
But I just realized that like nobody would pick up on what I was doing if I like did it on the like lowest monetization settings because like YouTube already put ads on videos. So
okay.
I put ads on my videos at the lowest settings. So it looked like YouTube put them on. But I was putting them on. And basically, like, I made, like, $800 the first month of, like, monetizing. And I was like, whoa. I was like, this is more than I made the past two summers at the bike shop. I was like, dang, like, that's crazy. I was like, yeah. This is some real money. And so, like, I quickly realized just, like, how these views translated to dollars. And I was like, well, if at, like, any rate of growth, you know, like, if I posted twice a week, you know, like, $1,600 a week and the, or a month. And I was like, well, like, you know, if I lived really lean, I could like live off that. And then at the time, I didn't know as much about like YouTube business and stuff like that. But like it would grow a lot from there, I assumed. So I just kind of took the leap of faith at some point after seeing the numbers. I had the nice part of seeing the numbers. I was like, well, you know, it already looks kind of nice. Like,
yeah. Did you ever have any doubts where you're like, uh-oh, maybe I didn't make the right decision?
I don't know. Like, I think that... especially initially, I had this like immense wave of confidence, you know, and when I kind of let the channel chill a little bit, like when I, you know, didn't post as much and stuff like that, I was like, dang, like maybe the channel's like dead. I don't know. Like, you know, I've had those thoughts, but I never really felt like I made the wrong decision because like, even if like YouTube wasn't doing well, like my other businesses or things I were working on that I was working on were like doing really well. So like usually when the channel's doing bad, it means that like some other part of my life is doing really well. And so it was kind of interesting because like I would always be winning in some way. So I never felt like I was, you know, losing by dropping out of college. I'm like, I always have had this idea that like by the time I graduated, which would be at the end of this year, I want to be making like over $100,000 a year, you know? Because I'm like, well, if I got a degree from William & Mary, got a basic job, it'd be probably like around there. So like that was my metric. And I feel like I've done really well for myself considering everything. And so I'm like, well, like I feel really good about my decision considering that like most of my friends are still just getting drunk every weekend, maybe every week and weekend and like just chilling in college. Like I feel like I've gotten a huge head start and it like feels good to like have already gone through the struggles of like being a real adult in this world, which is like a really cool and weird thing to have to struggle through.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Today's episode is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit company, and they make eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, or you're just looking to eat healthier like me, there's a range of recipes to suit any kind of diet or preference. I've been working with Green Chef over the last couple months, and let me tell you, I am their biggest fan. Whenever a box arrives at my door, ooh, I just know I'm going to be eating good for that week. All the ingredients are hand-picked and delivered right to your door, contact-free, so you can let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for you week after week. So simple, so easy. Meals take about 30 minutes, which is definitely doable, even for someone like me, who I feel like lives a very busy lifestyle. And Green Chef's expert chefs design designed flavorful recipes for your lifestyle that go way beyond ordinary substitutions. Every single one of their recipes is immaculate. I have yet to try one that I didn't like, so I highly recommend Green Chef, honestly. They're now owned by HelloFresh, and with their wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone, so I like to switch between the brands just depending on how my taste buds change. If you guys are interested, go to greenchef.com/coldbrew100 and use code coldbrew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. That is greenchef.com/coldbrew100 and use code coldbrew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Now let's get back into the episode. What would you say are like your best benefits of being self-employed?
I think that the best benefits are that I just live like it's the summer. Like, this sounds pretty awful, but like when you're like a kid in elementary school, high school, whatever, and you get the summer break and you're like, oh, I can do whatever now. Like, I can take a road trip down to like the beach, or I can go hang out with friends. It's like that, but you just happen to have to work all the time because like being self-employed is this like double-edged sword where like you're never working, but you're also always working. And so it's like, oh, it's like weird to grapple with, but most of the time it just feels like summer. I'm just like, I wake up, I'm like, whatever time I want to, you know, I stayed up a little late, got to sleep in a little bit, and then you just do your things, you know?
Yeah. And the world is your oyster. You know, you wake up and you're like, okay, what do I want to do today? You know?
Emma's like, I'm going to Hawaii today. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a planned vacation. So that wasn't on the way I wake up. I think I'm going to fly to Hawaii today.
That's a pretty nice perk of being self-employed, you know? Yeah, don't have to tell your boss I'm taking 2 weeks off, like, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, even when I was there, I was like, it's like you're never not working, you know? There's always in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this. I mean, I think that's in any job these days, though. Like, I feel like it's kind of rare to just be able to leave the job at work. I feel like a lot of people take it home with them these days, especially if you're working from home, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing in this modern age.
What are some cons of being self-employed?
Cons are that, you know, really the only boss is yourself. So it kind of sucks sometimes when you can't hold yourself accountable. And also, I think a big, like, negative point is that people don't necessarily respect it as much as like having a job. Like when you're at your job, like people are like, oh, they're at their job for the next 8 hours. Whereas when you're chilling at home, just doing whatever, like working in quotes, people are like, oh, you want to go do this? And you're like, well, I'm like working, you know? And like people respect it, but I feel like you have to set these boundaries and be like, no, this is like my work time. Yeah. And so it's like hard to like micromanage yourself and like create this schedule that people respect. So like that's kind of like a weird
thing. Actually really true, because I'd be like, I'm working. People are like, okay, what are you doing?
You know? Because like
people
they really
question that every time I tell them that.
You're like, well, I'm like sitting at my kitchen table watching YouTube doing research, of course.
Oh yeah, doing research. Watching Zach's latest YouTube video, doing research.
Studying the market, of course.
Studying the market, studying the trends.
Yeah, of course. Duh. Yeah. People can ask those questions.
What are some challenges of like being in the public eye?
I feel like sometimes I can't do the most rambunctious things, you know?
Do you want to do the most rambunctious things?
Who knows? I mean, sometimes you just want to scream out and shout, you know? But then you can't, you know? Like this car like almost hit me yesterday when I was running. They were like in the bike lane. And I was just running. I was like, when are you guys going to move out of this bike lane? And like, they still didn't move. So I like scoot over last thing and just smash their car. Like I punched it so hard and just flicked them off.
You punched their car?
Yeah, they were going to hit me. I was like, you're literally in the whole bike lane. And I was like, screw this. But I was like going to scream some stuff. I was like, but I didn't, because I was like, maybe there's somebody around that'll see me. But that's just like a weird thing, you know? But really, like, I think the weirdest thing is that like realizing that people care about you is a weird thing to grapple with. Like there's these numbers on the screen, like, you know, 96,000 people, subscribers, whatever you want to call them. And you're like, okay, that's cool. A great number. And then when you meet someone in person that like really values what you do, it's like so crazy. And like, I went on Spotify one day and I typed in like Zach Levitt just to see if there was like any playlist, you know, ego, whatever.
Boosting the ego.
And I looked and there were like three playlists that were like the Zach Levitt playlist. And I was like, that's so weird that like people, and it had like 100 followers. I was like, I don't even have a single playlist that has more than like 5 followers. And these have like 100 followers as this like private or like a separate playlist and just my music. I was like, that's so interesting. I was like, yeah, that's such a weird thing to like have happen.
It's, well, it's just, yeah, it's hard to, when you're behind the screen to really realize that the number is a person. I don't know. It's, and it, I think it's like a very niche thing to have to understand, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I definitely agree. But I love meeting people in person because it that's what makes it like real for me. Because like I said before, it's, I feel like I struggle with that disconnect where I feel like, you know, it's just me, myself, and I. But then when I meet someone in person, I'm like, okay, this like I wish I could just meet everyone in person.
Yeah.
Because it would mean so much to me to be able to like connect with each person outside of like being on a screen.
For sure.
Or just being behind an Instagram DM, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. Like I actually really kind of get anxious in those situations. Like I love it when people come up to me. So like if anybody ever sees me, you know, whatever. But I love it. But I also get anxious because I'm like, oh my gosh, like do I have to be like, I am who I am on the screen, but like sometimes I'm worried that people won't like love me as much as they love me in the videos or something.
Well, yeah, I read something yesterday. It's like, don't, like, you should never meet your heroes or something. And it's, yeah, I'm talking about that. It's like where you meet people and they're just not what you expect. I'm like, do people think that of me? But I never really get anxious. I actually really enjoy it. So
that's cool. Yeah. I once had like somebody recognize me when I was on a date and I was like, ooh, big clout. I was like, this is good. This is good. I didn't even time. Like, I didn't even plan this one. Like,
This isn't a setup.
I was like, I swear this is not a setup. Like, I do like YouTube and stuff. That's kind of crazy. Yeah. I was like weirded out. I was like, that's so weird and crazy.
What did the person say on the date? They're like, oh.
I think they were just like shocked a little bit. I like didn't say anything explicit or anything crazy. I was just like, that was weird.
That's funny. Well, where do you see like your channel going over the next 5 years? You've had a lot of twists and turns, as we both have. So where do you see your like what is the ideal for you over the next couple of years?
I think that, you know, I was at the orchestra the other night. And
as one does casually, I do it often, so.
And you know, I was contemplating my channel throughout this entire orchestral set. I don't even know if that's how you say it. I don't
like,
know.
Wait, am I the
I don't know any of these terms, honestly. But I was like chilling there and I was listening and I was like thinking about it and I was like, I really feel like I need to run my channel like a startup. This is kind of going back to what I said earlier, and like run true to the core business, which is like this running channel, you know, but over time build in these like pivots where I like experiment with different like content styles that are still in line, but like, you know, slightly different, like per se, like Nick Simmons content or something like that. And I think that there's this like world in which I can move this running content into like these more holistic, like running / life videos. And like find a way to kind of mend that together, like this guy named Jesse James West, who's like a big lifting
the fitness guy.
Yeah, the fitness guy. Exactly. Like people still associate him as like a lifting fitness guy. But in reality, like his YouTube videos are just like, you know, him asking girls questions. You know, really, he's like an interviewer almost now. But I mean, he has more content styles than that. But, you know, he took what he had and he over time evolved it into this cool thing through like tactical pivots, as you may want to call them. And so I think that there's like this world in which I can kind of mend it all together in this cool content that encapsulates who I am, and hopefully, you know, a lot of subscribers, you know. Yeah. That's a goal. Like that's a goal with it, like trying to like, once a audience plateaus on certain types of videos, my goal then is to like introduce a pivot and see where that takes me, and then like once that plateaus, pivot and see where that takes me, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So.
Kind of like a tactical approach.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely need strategy for that sort of thing. You need strategy for all of YouTube, though. And that's unless you're like a general vlogger, which I don't know who really is anymore. Like, you definitely need strategy.
Yeah, the general vlogger is like dead these days.
I know. I kind of miss that, though. I love vlogging. Like, I just love watching vlogs.
I know.
Just like seeing behind the scenes of people's lives without having to make it like a big scene, you know?
Yeah. Bring back Casey Neistat.
I know. Well, I mean, now there is vlogging. I feel like it's just on TikTok. So you just have to pivot platforms.
Weird. I didn't even know that exists. Yeah. What?
Wait, are you going to try to get on TikTok? Or are you just not even going to attempt?
I want to like try. I like so many of my friends and like people that are influential to me have been like, dude, you just need to do it. And the problem is that like once I finish editing, I'm like, do I edit another thing for TikTok? I'm like, I'd rather go to bed.
Yeah.
So I end up just like falling asleep or like chilling, and I need to do it. I just,
well, the thing about TikTok is things. That you have to be so consistent like every single day that it just is daunting to me. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that.
Emma, you should start daily vlogging on TikTok.
Oh.
I'd love to see it.
See, I don't think I can balance. I can't even do YouTube consistently these days. So it's like I can't balance YouTube, podcast, two Instagrams.
Yeah.
Brand. I'm just like, it's too, I think I need to cut it off at some point.
Just hire somebody to follow you around and make TikToks of you.
You think?
Oh yeah, I'd watch. Three TikToks a day of just Emma.
Three TikToks a day, sheesh. Okay. I need to figure out what my strategy is with that.
Guys, Emma has a winter internship opening up very soon.
Oh,
TikTok
yeah.
manager. I just created this job title, but yep. If you're in the New York area,
Zach's going to be doing the interviews.
Yeah,
I'm putting that on you exactly. Since you're putting out the job listing.
Perfect. Wow, we have a great organization going here.
Yeah, there you go. We need to collab again here soon, because I feel like when we met up in New York during like the New York Fashion Week or whatever, that was like actually really fun. I feel like I enjoyed it.
It was so
lot.
Fun. Yeah.
That's what I like miss. Like I like interacting with people.
Yes, yes. We need more collabs. Let's collaborate.
We need to collab.
We go to New
that
York?
Sounds like, I don't even know what that sounds like.
New York party. Yeah, collaborate is like this weird awkward thing where you're like, ooh.
We need
but
to collaborate.
I agree. I think we should make some cool stuff in New York. Or, you know, you are like 2 hours away in California.
That is true. I'm in San Diego right now. I'm not too far away. Are you in LA right now?
I'm in LA, yeah.
Okay.
That's nice. That's good here. Life's good.
Yeah. Okay, well, to not get too off topic and stop talking about a job listing that doesn't exist. I kind of, okay, really quick, I like want to touch on, because so many people now are like going to, I just know that people are going to try to become content creators or like start working at that. Cause obviously now with the, it's NIL, I think, whatever the rule is for now people can make money off of their name, image, and likeness, which is new as of this year. So how would you like, if you were starting right now, what would you do? To like
I would
the brand and make money off of your name, image, and likeness.
I think that especially for people that are at big name schools, I actually gave this advice to Charles Hicks. He was making these YouTube videos and he's like a great runner at Stanford, and his videos were getting like, you know, a couple hundred, couple thousand views. And I was like, dude, I've got a viral video for you. Day in the life of a track runner at Stanford. I swear it got like a million views. I told him to do this, and like 2 weeks later he made it. Viral, like 20,000 new subscribers. So I think like utilizing the school you're at and sharing that experience is just so huge, because so many kids in high school, depending on your sport, like every single sport has a bunch of people that want to see it, want to see what the life at X college is like.
Yeah, and so it doesn't even have to be a Stanford or like an Oregon. Yeah. It could be any school. Like I feel like
William and Mary, people liked it.
Yeah, and any level at any school, I feel like people are interested in. So
for sure. I mean, every school has so many kids that go there that there's so many people looking at you.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's cool because like if you are a runner in college, then you already have this cool title and this cool thing that you do that most people don't do. You have this thing that nobody else has. And so like just genuinely sharing your life and like your experience in it, which is the easiest way to go about making YouTube videos, which I would highly advise for, you know, starting out, because you don't want to have to deal with all the stupid stuff of like existential crises and stuff like that.
Yeah. You don't want to be like us.
Yeah.
No, I definitely recommend that. Like the student athlete life is something that people are really interested in, especially now. I feel like it's becoming bigger and bigger, and especially in the running world, like it's just starting to take off. So I would say, right now, like capitalize on it, because you know, back when we were making it, there was only a couple. And I feel like now you just see more and more people, whether it's like on TikTok or on YouTube, but it's still in its like really early days, I know. So
for sure.
Yeah. And like the student athlete experience is something that people are really interested in. And it's also really structured. So I think it just gives a lot of people like the ability to make good content. So I would 100%. Definitely recommend capitalizing on that.
And then some like small tips would be just to stay really consistent, like have a schedule and hold to it, which is key. And then as well with consistency, like kind of keep your content in the same lane. Like if you are a running vlogger about running, you know, making videos about cameras might be fun, but your audience is not going to like it typically. Not to like pinhole you guys, but I would say like a big thing that I learned quickly was that like, you know, people come for a thing. And if you want to move away from that thing, you got to do it like slowly. Yeah. You don't want to go from selling batteries at a grocery store to selling just pressed juice at your grocery store. You know, people would be like, I need my batteries. Why is there only pressed juice at this grocery store? And that's what you're doing to these audiences if you just start selling only pressed juice.
Yeah.
So I would say like, just stay consistent in like every aspect and make things that feel fun. Just do it so it feels fun. And don't worry about like your gear or anything. Like iMovie and the iPhone are really all you need.
That's what I started
Emma's
with.
Emma's a testament. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You Emma's don't need, a and you don't need to be a good editor. I still am not a good editor. However many years later, I started in 2017, 4 years later now, I'm still not a good editor. So yeah, iMovie and your iPhone is all you need. And another tip is don't go into it with the like goal of making a ton of money, because you're going to get discouraged quick because it takes a while.
Yeah.
But I think also being a student athlete, like I wasn't really focused on it from the start because I think I was so distracted with like my running. I wasn't really worrying about the money aspect. It was more just like an element to my life that was fun. And that's what it needs to be sustainable. Like if you're going into it being like, I want to become rich and famous, then it's not going to be sustainable because you're going to get discouraged really quickly.
For sure. And like, don't sell out your audience too soon. Another just small tip, like, you know, if you're doing brand deals with like 100 subscribers, it's going to feel a little bit weird, you know, that you're already trying to cash the bag or whatever you want to say.
Cash the bag.
Yeah. Like the thing is that like, it's better to just build out passion. And then like eventually when you're like, oh, I need a couple dollars. Now I have 20,000 subscribers. Maybe I can ask a company for a couple $100 and get some extra money for beer on the weekend. I don't know. Whatever you do.
Beer on the weekend. fair enough. Okay, well, I don't want to keep you for too long, but I have some questions to close out the episode.
Oh yes.
A lot of people asked, have you ever had any major injuries? And maybe they're asking because you're jumping from zero to zero mouth, like, how do you do that without getting injured?
I've had one major injury, which was like my Achilles. I had Achilles tendonitis when I was in eighth grade. And it lasted for 8 months and I was super, super down bad, you know, to use that.
Were you running on it?
No, I ran on it before I knew it was Achilles tendonitis. And then I was like growing at the time, like getting much taller. So I like couldn't heal. It was like growing and it was like stretched and it was like torn and it was like all these like huge problems with it. And so it just took a long time to heal. And I saw this like magical doctor after seeing like five and he just fixed me. But it sucked and it still lives with me today because like that's the thing that still annoys me, because like the tendons like don't heal back amazingly, weirdly enough.
Well,
so
there's not that much blood flow to the Achilles area either.
Exactly. So like once I damaged it, ever since, like whenever I get back into running, I have to like struggle through like a lot of Achilles stuff and then I'm back and it's cool.
Okay.
But yeah,
do you have any Achilles strengthening exercises that you do, or do you just kind of like go with it?
One big thing is that for me, I realize a lot of it is in my calves. So I just roll out my calves really hard and I wear compression socks when I run when my calves are sore. So I just kind of like look after the calves because it all relays to the Achilles. But, you know, calf raises are always good. But sometimes like when your Achilles is really inflamed, if you do them too hard, like it'll inflame them more. So
yeah,
a lot of times
worse.
I avoid it. Yeah. I kind of just try and work on the recovery side more than anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are your favorite shoes to run in?
My favorite shoes to run in right now, well, I like the fast shoes. So I like the Next Percents, some of my favorite shoes. And then training, I've been training the Pegs. I don't know if they're the best. I just got them for free and I've been running in them. So it's kind of just, I don't like, I used to be super tactical about the shoes I run in, but now it's just like for trainers, I feel like all of them are really good. So like the Mach 4, the Clifton, like great shoes. But, you know, for faster days, like my long runs, I always wear a fast shoe. So like the Next Percents or something like that. And sometimes for workout days, I wear another type of fast shoe. But
yeah,
I don't have like any, I just have a lot of shoes. So I just
I have so many shoes this day and age. I don't even wear the same one every single day. I just pick one.
Yeah, you're just like, whatever one looks cool today.
Yeah.
I like pink.
Exactly. Whatever matches my outfit.
Whatever matches my outfit, exactly.
Do you know which ones you're going to race in?
I think on the sheet where we requested what shoes we want, I put down the Next Percent. I'm kind of questioning if I want to run an Alpha Fly, but I've always loved the Next Percent so much. So the second gen looks really cool. I'm like, oh, I mean, I don't think I can go wrong really anywhere.
Yeah. Either but one is good. I one love of those Alpha two. Flies though. The Alpha Flies literally feels like moon shoes. It's crazy.
It's so good. It's, yeah. I swear those two shoes are the most elite shoes ever.
Like, I mean, they're just a revolutionary. I don't understand how they're made like that, but I'm like, I like them.
I run in so many competitors and I rank them as just like tempo shoes.
Yeah.
Like I've never run in one that even got close to comparing, but I haven't run in the Adidas ones. Apparently they're really good. I don't know.
I've run in the Adidas ones. They're good.
They're
solid.
That's good though.
I would say they're equivalent to the Next Percents. Like, I would say that they're very good, but the Alpha Fly is just a next level shoe.
Yeah, they've got a nice springboard in them.
Yeah, huge springboard.
Literally.
Trampoline.
Literally.
Okay, next question. What's like the craziest opportunity you've been given because of social media?
Ooh. Well, the one that Em and I went on for New York Fashion Week was crazy.
That was definitely by far the craziest one I've had.
Yes. We go into this like weird mirror room and freaking Drake, Travis Scott, Virgil, all these like super celebrities come out in this room of like 200 people. And we're like, why are we here?
Are we here? So it was, I mean, people probably saw the videos, but it was like Nike's New York Fashion Week show. And it was debuting the Tokyo 2020 uniforms. Yeah. So, it was crazy though. Like,
we had like no preface to it. Like, it wasn't Drake and Travis Scott are going to be here.
No, yeah. We had no idea what we were walking into. And we walked in, we're like, what is going on?
They called it the forum. And I was like, are we just going to like watch a discussion or something?
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was so crazy though. It's funny because I like tell people that work at Nike now that I went to that. They're like, how'd you get in there? I was like, I don't know.
Like, guys, don't ask me. I have no
clue. I'm like, I have no answers to that. I didn't even know what I was looking into. Yeah, that Steph was definitely the craziest. That was so wild. Being like two steps away from Travis Scott. I was like, what is going on?
And the hotel was so nice. It was like a five. They had a Michelin star restaurant inside the hotel. Yeah. It was like $500 a night for free. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just remember going to the show and then seeing Drake, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Drake. And then, but I like didn't really do anything, and then I suck. And then I saw Tyler Cameron from The Bachelor, and I went berserk. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like swooning. It was kind of embarrassing. I was like, what is my priority here? You know.
I was like, Emma, who is this guy?
Yeah. And I like saw Drake, someone I've been listening to since like my early days of having an iPhone.
The most famous dude ever.
Cool. Tyler Cameron from The Bachelor, though.
Literally.
I need to get a picture,
please.
And I like don't fangirl over people, so that's like kind of embarrassing.
It was so funny watching Emma do this.
Yeah, it was like kind of embarrassing. Like it was out of my element, but I mean, okay, two questions left. What's your like favorite collaboration that you've ever done? Like either with someone else or with a brand?
Ooh, this is interesting. I think that my favorite collab, which I don't know if I would cite it as this, you know, it might be, who knows, but when I was on Ryan Trahan's show, show called Avenat. Yeah.
That was so crazy. I was like, Zach.
Yeah,
and like the show was talking about like Ryan had to figure out who was like, I don't even
not know who they said they were, or like the
and I was like, but then I was confused. I was like, he's gonna know who you are.
yeah
And then he did.
But luckily it was like the cast that was voting for who they thought, you know, was not the person they said they were. But it was like the most fun 4 days of my life, where like I was just in this world. It was like being at summer camp. We couldn't have our phones, couldn't have our computers, couldn't have anything. And so we would just like hang out. We would just go chill in the hot tub, like play soccer all day, record, have fun. And it was just crazy to see the production that we had. Like Ryan really set up a really awesome production, and getting to know Ryan at that time was awesome. And like, I don't know, it was just this whole experience that might have been the best 4 days of my life. Like it was adult summer camp while also playing to win $5,000, and like the highest emotions and stakes. And you were like questioning if people were who they said they were, and like trying to find flaws in what they said. And like, you're just playing this giant game for like days. Like I still have regrets from that show just because I was so emotionally invested. I'm like, and it was like only $5,000 to win, but I was like, oh my God, like this is the most important thing in my life.
Yeah. Well, I feel like amazing. If you're immersed in that, then it makes sense how invested you are.
Yeah. It was so fun.
Yeah. Watching Ryan succeed has been like so cool. Cause I mean, I knew it from the start. Like he just had what it took, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And he's genuinely one of the nicest people.
Oh, like, he's so nice. Like oh I asked him to come on my podcast. He's like, of course. And I was like thinking that was a long shot because obviously he's like really famous now.
Yeah.
He like came on and he's just so humble and so nice.
Yeah.
So.
He really respects his roots. And like, I've like had some really interesting conversations with him where I'm like, this is like literally one of the best people on this earth. Like him being famous, like if anybody sees him in person, like he's like better than who he is on camera. Like such an 100%. Amazing person. Like, great guy.
Yeah. Okay. The last question I have is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Ah. This is a good one. I think that at what point? Dang.
I don't know.
Dang.
Decide.
This is a really interpretive question.
Yesterday. Yesterday you were younger.
Yesterday, me, well, maybe like wake up 30 minutes earlier for this. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, same.
No, literally. No, but I think that like to my high school self, I would say that I would probably tell myself to just like keep doing what I'm doing, like keep chasing my visions and like always be confident in what I do and just know that, you know, I'm capable. Because like, I think that a lot of times, you know, it would be easy to like fail at making a dropshipping company and be like, well, I guess the entrepreneurial life isn't for me. I mean, like I always had this idea of like never working a real job, but you know, just really like enforcing that, like you can do this is pretty cool. Because I feel like at this point I've realized that most people can do whatever they want in this world. And it's just a matter of like doing it and keeping like persistently putting yourself out there and like sharing your work and making really cool things and like committing yourself super, super intensely to like your projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you will see success. Like I feel like everybody can see immense success. It's just if you put your head down and grind.
Yeah. It's just crazy how much persistence can like play a factor in that. And it requires a lot of patience too.
For sure.
Yeah, I think it takes practice over time, but I definitely agree. It's good advice, especially to the next generation of content creators. So love that.
Yes, yes.
Cool. Well, this was a good episode. Honestly, like it was just good to catch up because I feel like it's been a while since we've had like a conversation, and probably since 2020. Like
we had a little phone combo, but you know, we haven't caught up fully.
Yeah, exactly. Well, where can people follow you at, even though probably everyone follows you, but where can they check you out?
Instagram at Zach Levitt, LEVET. On YouTube, Zach Levitt. Instagram, Twitter, all the socials, TikTok. Just search up Zach Levitt.
Okay.
I repeated
one
twice, but hard to keep track of.
To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was really fun catching up with Zach, and I hope you learned a little bit more about what life is like as a YouTuber, specifically, I guess, in the running space. Now, with younger people being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, it's going to be really interesting to see who else pops off with a YouTube channel, and I'm excited to follow along. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the podcast.
follow us on Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod to be up to date or submit listener questions for each episode every week. And yeah, I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.